Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So here's some interesting news. Evidently, the Washington Nationals, the baseball team there in the city of Washington, has invited Dr. Anthony Fauci to throw out the first pitch on opening day. That's, you know, I know during the Wallace interview, Trump said, no, we're good friends and we're buddies and all that stuff. But this has got to be kind of a shot. Not like Trump was going to get out there and throw out the first pitch himself. But this has got to kind of be a kind of little shot, I think. But there you go. So good on the Nationals there. I'm still wondering how they're going to do a baseball season. I know they've got a 60 game season planned. I wonder how it's going to be playing in these giant stadiums with nobody there. Just kind of wondering. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on the top news of the day and a bunch of the stuff that I've chosen. I've asked our good friend Propane Jane to come back and speak with us. Jane, thanks for taking time for us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me back.
So what do you think? Fauci throwing out the first pitch?
I think that's great, actually. I mean, it's definitely a middle finger to Trump. didn't they boo him?
They did boo him.
Yeah.
They boo him everywhere he goes.
Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, I think that was that was the beginning of the booing. I mean, I think that was an actual sea change in terms of how he was received in public. And since then, he really has been reduced to this bubble of it has to be these very premeditated, orchestrated AstroTurf-type rallies. Because otherwise, he just gets embarrassed if he tries to go out and mingle with the American people.
Yeah, it's crazy. but I don't know. Did you see the big rally over the weekend? Evidently, I thought Kanye West was not running. In fact, one of his people said that he wasn't running. But he had a big thing in Charleston on Sunday. The first campaign rally, evidently. He rallied. He railed against abortion. He was against pornography. You shouldn't load up on it. Marijuana should be free. And anyone who gives birth to a child should get $1 million.
Yeah, I mean, he's having a manic episode, presumably. I cringe at the thought of this man potentially, you know, just being in the midst of an acute mental health crisis. And a spectacle being made of it. Granted, I get that he's, you know, leading the charge, but at the same time, I don't necessarily think that that even what was on display and what I saw from some of the clips that I was able to watch, I don't think that it represents stability. I certainly don't think it represents sanity or someone who could competently run the country, obviously.
But we're in this weird moment, though, Jane. And the reason I keep bringing this up is because he's actually qualified for the ballot in Oklahoma, which I thought, really, Oklahoma? Not in South Carolina, though, which is kind of weird to have a rally in a place where you're not qualified to be on the ballot. But, you know, honestly, in this weird moment, could he do much worse than Trump?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think he has any chance. I mean, like I said the other week, I really don't think people should be taking him seriously.
I don't think I'm not, but I just thought it was one of those interesting little bits.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting in the sense that the reason why the floodgates are now open for this thing and it's been normalized to the point of, you know, people are feeling like they have to take it seriously and ask these questions about, is this really going to happen? Could this really happen? Is because Trump actually happened. And there really isn't a lot of difference between Trump and Kanye in this newest iteration of Kanye. I mean, not the Kanye that he started out as when he became an artist.
Right. See, but here's the difference. My thought, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong. My thought is the difference here is, you know, the black voters who he's probably courting are probably smarter than the, well, average Trump supporter.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that aspect. But I also think that just the idea of at least on the Republican side, them feeling like his presence serves a purpose for them, you know, like a sabotage type purpose, speaks to that issue. They do see him as a very diamond and silk like character, and they think that caricature, that stereotype, will appeal to a certain segment of the population. And yes, maybe there are, you know, some black males who would deviate and vote for Kanye West idiotically. But again, you know, it was about 83% black males voted for Hillary Clinton. So there were still 17% that, you know, were out to lunch.
Yeah. Well, it's like, you know, in New Hampshire when...
So that happens.
It's like in New Hampshire when someone goes to the polls and votes for Vermin Supreme. You know, the guy runs in every presidential election and he gets votes. He's like the throwaway vote. You know, we want nothing else.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that there is, you know, a contingency in our society that wants to do that, you know, that doesn't want to make these, you know, it's like when you go to the grocery store and say you have, you know, three choices and two of them are like these big brand names that you always see on the commercials or whatever. And, you know, there's a certain percentage of people that are going to go, no, I'm going to get the one that's not. Just because I don't want to get the big brand one. I don't want to be forced to, you know, have these two that are always thrown at me on TV as the only thing I'm going to choose.
Or you're trained like I am as a kid, you know, growing up, getting the white box with the black lettering.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was my training as a kid because it was the cheapest.
Exactly.
Okay, that's interesting. Let's get out of the Kanye West then. I'm sorry I brought it up. I actually am. It was one of those things where I saw it. I'm going, you know, really? Again? Can't he go away? And yet, here I brought it up.
Well, but it's silly season, and this is what, I mean, he's participating in silly season, and here we are.
Yeah. One more silly season thing I've got.
Yeah.
Representative Jim Jordan, you can spell it with a G or a J, however that goes. I'm sure you've seen the tweet. He tweeted out, Drew Brees asks that people respect the flag, canceled. Some guy named Mark Gundy, I'm assuming he's a professional fisherman, which I guess there are those. I'm sure there's money in it. Wears the wrong T-shirt, finished fishing, he's canceled. James Harden wears a back the blue mask, canceled. If the mob wins, we all lose. Am I missing something there?
I missed all of it. I mean, I don't understand. What is his point? What is his point? I mean, again, I don't think they have anything left. I mean, why is he talking about that in the middle of a pandemic? How well is his state handling these current conditions? Why is he canceling people right now?
Yeah, well, evidently what happened, and I'm not sure if you know, evidently James Harden, the basketball player, wore a bandana with the black and blue United States flag on it, with the blue line and the Punisher skull on top, which evidently I didn't know this, but the Punisher skull is the Blue Lives Matter group's, you know, image, and then obviously the flag is to show that you support police or whatever. Evidently, he didn't realize or, you know, wasn't making a statement. He said that he wasn't making a statement. He just wore it because it covered his whole face because he's got a giant, massive beard. You buying that?
Yeah, here's the thing. We've made a couple of trips across the state, not fully across the state because that's a really long trip, but between Houston and Austin in the last couple of weeks. And we've seen these decals and tons of these flags, these new flags that we had never seen before. And we weren't really sure, like, what is this new flag all of a sudden? And so I'm glad you pointed this out because I could imagine, at least in terms of the way I'm seeing it around the state of Texas, just, like, randomly on people's cars without an explanation. And it kind of looks like a cool spin on the flag, but then you don't really know, like, what is this a part of? Because I was wondering, like, is this a secessionist thing or is it a Trump thing? That was the first thing that I thought of. But if he didn't know, I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't know, because I do see people having it And I don't necessarily know if they're affiliated with the group that it's actually affiliated with.
Yeah, because I'll be honest, the first time I saw it, I go, oh, that's a cool-looking flag. I mean, personally, as someone who's actually read the flag code,
Right, you know it's a violation,
it's,
right?
It's a major violation.
Right.
Wearing it as underwear or toilet paper or, you know, walking on it or whatever, all violations. And all the people who, you know, who love to say, I love the flag, you know, all the things they do to desecrate the flag in violation of the code, I've really given up on. But I saw this, and I finally, a couple months ago, saw a guy with, he had a T-shirt on that said Blue Lives Matter, and I go, ah, now it makes sense.
Okay, now I get it. Well, now I get it. I mean, I get it even more, and it's even more, because let me tell you, the assortment of flags that I'm seeing together with that flag is like the Come and Take It flag, the Don't Tread on Me flag, the Confederate flag.
Right.
All of that, I mean, they're all going together. So do I think that James Harden is in line with that political ideology? No. Do I think that it's very easy to mistake that flag for just like a cool off-the-wall kind of flag and not really know what it is? And do I think that's on purpose? Yes.
Because the reason I bring this up is, you know, you go back to, you know, the Civil War. You know, we each had our flags.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a moment where they're staking their own flag now, or this is?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I'm going to email you some pictures that I got from a friend who went to the Galveston, around the Galveston area beaches, in the last like 2 months. Like, they literally have Trump. It looks like, he looks like Rambo. I'm not kidding you.
Yeah, no, Jane,
and
Jane.
He's got it.
Jane, I live in central Pennsylvania. I'm literally 45 minutes from Gettysburg. Somebody put out a Facebook message that there were going to be Antifa people showing up,
right,
burning flags on the graves of Confederate soldiers at Gettysburg.
Right.
And a bunch of these crazy people showed up with their guns and their bikes, and they're going to defend the Confederate. Now, understand, listen to me when I say this. They're going to defend the Confederate soldiers who were buried at Gettysburg.
Right.
There is not one Confederate soldier buried,
right,
at Gettysburg,
right,
because it is a Union cemetery. They are all people who fought for the United States. These are all people who died fighting against that damn flag, and you're going to walk over their graves carrying the flag that they fought and died against? How freaking stupid are you?
I think they're that stupid, Rick. They don't know that history. They don't know any of that. They just know what they're being told in whatever social media, chat room, whatever is telling them to go be at this place, whatever is telling all of these people around the country, state by state, to buy all of these flags. Because that's the way I've been thinking about it, is like, how do they all have these flags? Like, are they selling them on Fox News?
Like, no, worse.
Where are they getting them?
They're selling them on the side of the road virtually everywhere here. They got big stands set up. You can buy all your Trump paraphernalia. I can get the flag with Rambo Trump anytime I want. There's an RV that drives around our neighborhood, in our community. Giant 30-foot RV. Covered with women for Trump, Latinos for Trump, you name it, puppies for Trump, Martians for Trump. It's covered with Trump paraphernalia.
Well, Goebbels would be so proud.
And that's the thing that I'm in this weird moment.
Yeah.
Because this is where I eventually wanted to get to, because now they've got their own damn flag. We see in Portland, they're sending out evidently disappearing squads now.
Right.
All of this stuff that, as I started today's show off with, you know, my 11-year-old, who we, as I say, is our family's NSA, she needs to know everything. I'm trying to explain to her that, you know, things aren't as bad as it seems. When you're looking over my shoulder and all the news I'm reading is horrible, it's not as bad, honey. Things are going to be okay. I'm clearly worried that things are not going to be okay.
Right. Yeah. For good reason, because they're not. I mean, they're not, and we've already gone so far past the point where, like, our imagined checks and balances were supposed to have kicked in, right? I mean, at every step of the way, right? I mean, because theoretically, the first, you know, thing was supposed to be the Electoral College, which clearly that was the first failure. And then everything since then, right? I mean, our Department of Justice, our whole entire legislative branch, the Supreme Court, the Pentagon, all these levels of supposed to be reining him in if he goes, quote-unquote, too far, haven't actually done that, and he really is, you know, metaphorically standing on Fifth Avenue shooting, like, hundreds of thousands of Americans now. And so I think that's why it is very terrifying, because we don't see anybody stepping up to stop him. And what we ultimately are not seeing is the Republican Party, the people who brought him to the dance, the people who created this Frankenstein. They're not doing anything to stop him. They're just quietly, either they're completely quiet or they're anonymously speaking out, which doesn't help us anyway, or they are finding ways to defend the indefensible still. And so that's what I think has a lot of people in a state of mind where they're just going, hey, this is not going to get any better until hopefully we can vote. But then now when you see what he's doing in Portland, you're also going, you know, how much power does he have to completely just shut down the way our systems and our processes are supposed to work, and nobody does anything to stop him from doing it, or right, to even just remove him from office?
Because, you know, I'm looking at this. Is this him declaring martial law? Is this the beginning of that? And where are all of the states' rights Republicans? Where are they all at? Because this clearly is a violation. They're going to send 150 of these federal agents who we found out some were tactical units from the Customs and Border Patrol, tactical units from the U.S. Marshal that they sent into Portland. I guess they're sending them to Chicago now. And who's next? You know, this to me is another one of those Pastor Niemoller moments.
Right.
You know, first they came for one person. Mm-hmm. I didn't bother saying anything. And then they came for another and another and another. By the time they got to me, nobody left.
Oh, absolutely. I tweeted this exact same thing just within the last couple of days. And just the fact that, again, you know, I think in our minds we think, okay, well, of course he would attempt to do something in, you know, a city like Detroit or a city like Chicago, a city that's known for, you know, having a certain level of gun violence, et cetera, or having a certain black population that, you know, people on the Republican side always use as the example of Democrats gone wild and whatever, blah, blah, blah. But ultimately, doing this in Portland, you know, as I've been tweeting, again, like I was saying, this is the whitest big city in America. And so they're doing it there. And so I think that just proves to that quote that they're coming for everybody. This idea that, oh, they would only do this in certain places, or they can't get away with this with certain populations because, you know, they're going to go full Karen and they're going to show up and somehow that's going to make him stop. I mean, he's wanting to be a dictator. Dictators don't stop for that. And so far, again, the Republican Party has just laid down, and actually not even laid down. I mean, they've helped him along the way. They've dragged him along the way to do all of these things. And so, again, I don't know what's going to stop him. I wish I could say what is going to stop him, but I don't think any of us know what that thing is for sure.
No, and even he said, you know, during the Mike Wallace interview that or the Chris Wallace interview. I'm bringing his father back from the dead.
Right.
He said in the Wallace interview that, you know, maybe he won't take the results, you know, take them seriously. Who knows? And I'm going, wait a second. From the founding of the country, you know, it's always been. But I guess I shouldn't be shocked.
No, I mean, because he's a sociopath. So he recognizes no rules, no regulations as valid, and certainly not anything that applies to him. So who cares about your Constitution? Who cares about all of these things that you have in place? Those people were suckers for going along with that. I'm going to do something totally different, and I'm going to have it my way.
Yeah. He's also said that, you know, Baltimore could be on the hit list, Detroit, New York, Oakland, Philadelphia, a lot of cities on the hit list.
A lot of cities on the hit list and a lot of cities in blue states. Because what you're not going to see, or, you know, you're highly unlikely to see, is him doing that in red states.
So the question that the reason I bring this up, the question that I have then, you know, back to the, you know, and I don't mean to sound paranoid, but back to the martial law idea, you're talking about heavily Democratic cities. You're talking about sending in disappearing squads. And that's what they are. I mean, when they show up with no recognizable you know, names or identification whatsoever in unmarked cars, grab people off the street, and then everyone disappears. That is what it is. Is this something we see around election time to suppress the vote?
I think you can. I think that we should anticipate all of these tactics being used in addition to the coronavirus.
Right, because we already know, Jane, we already know that they've done this in the past. They've sent unmarked looking police cars with, you know, with people with, you know, uniforms on or suits on to sit outside of minority polling places to keep the numbers down. They've already done this. What's going to stop them from sending in these tactical units to stand around?
Nothing at all. And the thing is that the other thing that's going to continue to agitate this is that the policies themselves are not changing because of who is in power. And so that's going to continue to stir up the population, and that's why these protests aren't going to end. We still have the incitement happening on social media. Joe Biden just came out within the last couple of days and said he's getting intel briefings, and he knows that they are still attempting to interfere in our elections the same way they did in 2016 and 2015. And a lot of the ways that they did that was, as we've been saying, promoting events, promoting these you know, instances where one group shows up, the opposition to that group shows up, and, you know, like at Gettysburg, they think they're supposed to be this thing, and ultimately there's not, but they just hope that they can capitalize on those two groups being there and hating each other's guts, and then hopefully there's bloodshed.
Yeah.
And if enough of that happens in enough places, that it's enough chaos, it's enough disruption, in addition to the pandemic, to keep people away from the polls and to keep the social fabric of our nation torn apart. I mean, because again, we're having to social distance. We're having to actually live life in a different way than we're used to. And I think that in and of itself creates that feeling of fear, that feeling of paranoia, that feeling of uncertainty and worry and anxiety about just what each day is going to bring.
Yeah. And the weird thing is it's magnified even more in those people who are already unstable to begin with. And you look at the Karens and the people who are doing just some of the most outrageous, ridiculous stuff. There was a woman, and I'm going, how does this get into your head? And maybe I'm sure you've seen everything. As a psychiatrist, I'm sure you've seen, heard it all. But how do the wheels work where you walk into a Verizon store and they say, you got to put on a mask or I can't help you with your phone. And you drop trowel and you take a leak right on the ground. What goes into your mind? How do you come up with that as your protest?
Well, the thing you have to understand is that these people are already ginned up. These people are already ginned up. Another thing that I've been watching, because I've been doing a lot of people watching about the mask, have you seen the people that, like, literally can't wait until they get out of the store in the parking lot? Like, they're not to their car. They literally have just crossed out of the door, and they yank that mask off of their face.
Yeah.
And it's very showy the way they do it. You know, they want to kind of show to people that I did it, but I'm mad that I had to do it. And look at me, I'm free again. And I always think, hey, there's a possibility that it's in the air droplets, so I'm not even sure you're actually helping yourself by taking it off. But again, they're already angry. They're already watching programming and listening to the radio, listening to podcasts, listening to all of this commentary about how the mask is quote-unquote slavery, the mask is oppression, the mask is the deep state, and all these people you hate, and it's a hoax against your favorite president, quote-unquote.
I've seen that. I've seen it. So let me ask you this then, because, you know, How would they react if they were actually oppressed?
I don't even think they would recognize that they were being oppressed until it was already too late. I mean, that's the thing that's kind of about the Stockholm Syndrome, and this is what's happening to them right now in reference to the pandemic, is that they don't recognize Trump, the GOP, people they voted for, people they've trusted with their lives, as the people that are actually doing them harm. They don't recognize that they have signed their lives away, their jobs away, their health care away, to people who are not going to provide them with a ventilator, an ICU bed, even a corona test. They won't even get them a coronavirus test or trace the virus and figure out how they got it and make sure they didn't give it to other people in their family and at work.
Yeah.
But they're not able to see that, so much so that they will literally go out and protest for the right to not wear a mask.
That's crazy. Just nuts. Last thing I got for you. I wanted to get your thoughts on the Karen and Ken of a little while ago, Mark and Patricia McCloskey.
Oh, yes.
Evidently, they've been charged with felony
weapons
charges for displaying a gun and also a misdemeanor charge of fourth-degree assault. Is that the right thing? As a gun person from Texas?
I think it's the right thing, but do you think it'll stick?
No, I don't. See, I don't know. I don't know how we're a gun culture. I'm not a gun person. It's a weird thing. I don't think it's going to stick, and I think they're both lawyers. I think they're going to make a lot of money off of this.
Yeah, they probably are.
I think they're going to get a lot of popularity. I think we're making heroes out of them for a segment of the population and martyrs all along. And if they are convicted and slapped on the wrist, they'll make even more money from book deals and all speaking tours. This is my problem with this, is there going to be a whole bunch of more crazy people like this who will follow their lead.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And the governor, I think, already said that he would pardon them.
Yeah.
So, I think you're right. I mean, I think that they could become another Joe Sixpack type figure.
Yep. I just wish someone would have thrown a water balloon at him. That would have been fun. That would have been well deserved. But, Jane, as always, I appreciate the time. Always fun talking with you.
You too. Have a great week and be safe.
Good stuff. Our good friend Propane Jane. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.